The sale and clearance of the season with new items added throughout the store. Now through Monday, save up to 60% on select diamonds, gemstones, gold, and more. Plus, take an extra 10% off when you make your purchase using a Zales credit card. The Labor Day sale and clearance. Now through Monday, only at Zales, America's diamond store since 1924. Subject to credit approval, some exclusions apply. Ask jewelry consultant for details.
The Lawn Desk is issuing a fall alert. Dollarweed is still at large. Left unchecked, it will take over your lawn by spring, unless you use Scott's Bonus S now. Unlike bargain brands, Bonus S has no filler. Every single granule is 100% food and weed-killing power that looks dollarweed in the face and says, "Not on my watch, mister." So pick up a bag of Scott's Bonus S now, because if you give dollarweed an inch, it'll take a lawn. That concludes this dollarweed decimating alert. For additional information, visit Scotts.com.
Well, howdy! Thanks for coming to Big Bubba's. We got a mess of used cars. What can we do for you?
We're looking for,
something cute.
Well, here's a beauty. A 99 model with a moonroof. As a bonus, we'll throw in a leaking gas tank. You could be driving and kaboom! Adds that zing of excitement.
You got any other cars?
Wouldn't it be great if you could be warned of life's risks? If you have diabetes, you can. There's a simple blood test called A1C that can help measure your risk of complications from diabetes. Why is it important? Because more than 600 people every day die from diabetes and its complications. If your A1C is above 7, your doctor can show you how to lower it. If you have diabetes, know your risk. Know your A1C. Ask your doctor. Or for more information, go to www.diabetesa1c.org or call 1-877-TEST-A1C. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation International, and the Ad Council.
CNN 650 Radio News brings you the world as it happens.
Hundreds of hurricane evacuees in Houston are lining up now for debit cards.
One Nation.
Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff announced today Coast Guard Vice Admiral Thad Allen will replace Brown, the embattled FEMA director.
One World.
An American ex-hostage is now on his way home from Iraq.
One Station. Stay tuned to CNN 650 for news that matters to you. Real news, real fast. CNN 650 Radio News.
Welcome back to Law Talk. Bob, do you recognize our music coming in and going out?
Well, I think that's Money, 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 but I don't know who sang it.
That's what I want. Money, 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 Money. We're back on the air. This is Law Talk on CNN 650. We're here with Alex Wathen. Alex is here to address your problems concerning consumer credit and consumer bankruptcy. We've got a couple people holding on the line, but before I pick up the first call, my understanding was, and we were talking about this off the air, Alex, although you don't personally handle consumer repair, if people contact your office, you'll be happy to refer them to a reputable company to help them with that before going into bankruptcy. Is that the size of it?
Well, typically, I actually recommend to do that after bankruptcy, because about 30-35% of your credit score is the balance to limit ratio, the percentage of utilization of credit. Once you've gotten a bankruptcy discharge, all those accounts should go down to zero balances. And once the credit bureau is updated, then you kind of know more what you've got. And it's better to dispute either after a bankruptcy or if you do it during a bankruptcy in anticipation. I mean, a lot of these accounts, it takes a year or two to really do credit repair right. And, it's important you realize you can't just, do it real quickly and then get a mortgage. It's a long-term thing.
Okay, let's see. We've got Carol in the Heights. She has a credit report problem. Carol, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I thought I had really great credit. I own my own home. I have not applied for credit, and I don't know how long. My car's paid for. I think the last time I applied for something was a low-interest credit card about 6 years ago, and I'm trying to get a home improvement loan. And when they ran my credit, I'm concerned because there's all these credit inquiries on there, and it's not me. I have not applied for a loan or anything. I have tons of them on there, and I'm afraid that's going to affect my credit score. And do you know where they came from?
That's happened to a lot of people, Alex. Is there anything you could do about those queries, and why are they showing up on everybody's credit?
like anything else on your credit report, you have the right to dispute inquiries. Only certain inquiries are supposed to count in your score, and that's when you're actively seeking credit. Existing lenders that just do it to monitor your accounts, they're supposed to code those as account monitoring, and those are not counted. I would recommend if you do some shopping for an auto loan or a mortgage that you try to confine it to a 14-day time period, because recently the FICO scoring model usually has counted all those as one single inquiry. And sometimes if, you know, depending on what else is in your credit report or your credit score, some people can have a lot more inquiries than others, but usually a lot of them within a short time period or recent ones are going to drag your score down more than others. But generally, inquiries is only about 10% of your score anyway. So there could be other things. You may have high balances on some accounts perhaps, or say you have a credit card where you use 90% of the balance. Even if you pay it off every month, if they report it as having 90% of the balance, that could be dragging down your score too. So even if you pay everything on time, you could still have a bad credit score. And even if you have a good credit score, you may still not be able to get the loan you want, because those home improvement loans and second mortgages, home equity loans, those are the hardest to get of all right now.
For like a pool or a major repair like a roof or something of that nature?
Yeah, it depends on the loan product. The ones that are vendor-based by the vendor that sells the pools, those are generally not as hard. But if you go to a bank and you want to get a home equity loan or home equity line of credit that you want to use for anything, those are the hardest.
Okay. Tom, do we have another caller?
Actually, we do. We've got Tom, who's downtown. He has a small business question. Tom, are you there?
Yes, I am. How you doing, gentlemen?
Oh, we are just fine. Good. What are you up to, Tom?
Well, I had a question, if y'all don't mind. It's I've got about a dozen odd employees down here, and every day I am getting calls from people and those auto-dial collection calls. If you are so-and-so, please stay on the line. Press 1 if you are. And they're for my employees. And when they're here, they're supposed to be working, not really taking personal calls. But I don't know. Am I supposed to let them talk to employees at work? Do I have to pay for that time?
Actually, that's a really good question, Tom. And I know those are a burden on employers. And here's what I think you should do. I think you should have a policy not to accept creditor phone calls. Your employees don't want to talk to them anyway. I think you should tell your receptionist to hang up on them. And in fact, if they do decide to take calls, I would say we don't allow creditor calls. And if you don't hang up or stop calling this number, we're going to have our attorneys send you a letter and consider legal action, because you don't need that disrupting your business. And, under the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, if that's a third-party debt collector, or even if it's the original creditor under Texas state law, if you have a policy at your place of employment that doesn't allow those calls, they are not allowed to call them. And the employee, in fact, you could perhaps even as the employer recover damages if you sued these debt collectors for calling at your office.
Would you report it to the Attorney General's office?
They're probably not going to take action on it, even though they could. But I would just start with a policy and hang up on them, or just tell them they can't call here.
I took over a desk recently a couple of months ago from a prior employee, and I've told it's Citibank keeps calling this number, and it's not him. I've told him at least a dozen times, wrong number, doesn't work here anymore, stop calling this number, and they keep calling.
I file some lawsuits under the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, and even if you can't show any actual damages, any party that's injured by this, and that could be an employer too, could, if the judge wants to, give them $1,000 in damages without proof of damages, and also the attorney's fees can also be shifted to the debt collector. So there's a lot you can do. I do some of those lawsuits, and they can be a very effective deterrent. But the problem is most people don't know their rights. And
correct.
They don't know who to turn to for those. So.
Well, I'm a big fan of attorney's fees. I know you are. Did that help you out any, Tom?
Yeah, it did. Thank you very much, guys.
Thanks.
Now, Bob.
Yes.
It's our old friend Elvis. He's on the phone. Elvis, What can we do for you today?
Oh, hell, I'm having a heck of a time back here. Listen, a while back, I got myself a credit card, and it had about a $200 limit on it. And I decided to get one of them Nintendo 54s, 84s, Nintendo 54s in the house. And it came to about $180, so I still had room left on the card, and I picked up some silly putty for the neighbor's kids. And brought it all home, and everything was pretty good for a while. But, lost my job and couldn't start not being able to make payments. And forget about the fact that I had a $200 limit. Eventually, over time, it became about $1,400, $1,600, and they're still trying to collect on it. Now, I don't know what goober came up with the policy to sit there and try and get money out of me for that, because if I can't pay the $200, I don't know how I'm supposed to pay $1,600. So, I mean, I don't know what they're thinking, but they keep coming after me. So, I figured, okay, we're going to settle this situation once for all. So, I boxed up that Nintendo 54 and all that silly putty, and there was a lot of them. Kids, I don't know, they've been chewing on it or something. So I put it in a box, took it on the post office, mailed it back to them. Okay, done. Even see where this matter put to bed. Well, they refused delivery. I guess they x-rayed the box or something, a bunch of electronic components and all that stuff in there, and now I'm on FBI watch list. I'm trying to clear this up, and then it's still haunting me. It really is. So I just like y'all, someone else has to do it. I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom. That's a really good point. You don't want to return the merchandise because you're still on the hook for the debt. Yeah. You know?
But he brings up an interesting point. I know this happens all the time. People are having credit cards canceled for non-payment, and they've got a 100 and whatever it was balance. And over time, even though the credit card company has said, we've canceled your card, you're done, over time they end up getting a third-party collector calling in and going, hey, you owe $1,700, $1,800 on a $200 card.
Well, it's interest and fees. And, I mean, your $200 debt, you know, over 2-3 years, all of a sudden it's – you know, $1,000, $2,000, and it just keeps going up. And then they're charging you, 25% interest a year on top of interest. They're charging you interest on interest.
My advice is not to ever pay a debt collector anything. Tell them, I dispute the debt and I refuse to pay. Those
really?
Are magic words. If it's a third-party debt collector, they cannot contact you anymore. And, if they eventually sue you, you need to talk to an attorney such as myself. We have a lot of things we can do to defend those lawsuits. And, usually bankruptcy is a cheaper option, frankly, if you owe a lot. But if you have one little $1,000 credit card in collections, it might be worth trying to defend it. Usually most people find bankruptcy is a cheaper route to go, but there are situations when if you just have one lawsuit that it might be okay to defend it. And there are a lot of things you can do because when they sell it to a third-party collector, they can't prove up the debt. They don't have the original contract. They don't have the statements. They don't have the receipts. They just trade these things electronically on the Internet.
Yeah, but then all of a sudden, 5 years down the road, you've got three of these third-party reporting you as – as a debt, it starts a snowball there as well.
That's true, and it depends on what your comfort level is. The nice thing about bankruptcy is you get a fresh start. That stuff will stop. You don't have to wait out the 4-year statute of limitations to be sued in Texas. You can get your fresh start right away and rebuild your credit now. I mean, people don't want to file bankruptcy, but a lot of time it's the best option to handle these things. It's very cost effective. It's straightforward. It has an extremely high success rate. Very seldom does anybody get denied a bankruptcy discharge. There's relief available for just anybody.
Well, that's a good question. How do you qualify? What's the qualifications for a bankruptcy, Alex?
The good news is that everybody will qualify for something. Some people qualify for the better ones. People like to do the Chapter 7s because they, you get the debt written off. You don't make payments to a trustee. The hard part is if you make incomes in the higher income range, then you may have a little harder time with a means test. And there are some people that are basically put out of a Chapter 7 because you don't qualify. If you have, we have a household of two, then the median income level under the Census Bureau is about $50,000. And then and these are approximate figures. They vary a lot. They vary by state, too. For every additional household member, you add another $6,000. If you're below that level, you automatically pass. By the way, if you have mostly business debt or non-consumer debt, you don't have to do the means test. Also,
oh, really?
Active duty military don't have to do it either. There are some exceptions. But business debt's the big one, at least in Houston. And San Antonio, we have a lot more people who are active duty military, obviously. But most people pass.
Well, we're getting ready to go to commercial. This is Tom Young. I'm here with Bob Lewis and Alex Wathen. You're listening to Law Talk here on CNN 650. Hold on and come back. We've got more to cover.
William Shatner is a paid spokesperson for Smith & Hassler.
I'm William Shatner. If you're injured in an accident that's not your fault, the insurance company may try to deny, delay, or offer to give you a lot less than what you deserve. Here in Houston, Smith & Hassler doesn't think that's acceptable.
Tell the insurance company you mean business.
Call Smith & Hassler, right here in Houston.
The law offices of Smith & Hassler has been representing injured victims for years. They understand the seriousness of being injured in an accident. Call 1-800-WIN-WIN-1 for a free consultation.
If you're hurt, the insurance company should never give you the runaround or less than what you're entitled to. No unfair delays, no games, no stunts. You've got an important opportunity for justice. Tell the insurance company you mean business.
Call 1-800-WIN-WIN-1. Smith & Hassler, right here in Houston. 1-800-WIN-WIN-1. You'll be taken care of.
Are you confused by today's economy? Do you wonder what's next? Don't you wish you had an expert to turn to for advice? Now there's On the Money, the radio talk show where local experts discuss the financial issues that affect your life. Join us all week long for On the Money and be a part of the conversation, because money doesn't come with instructions. That's On the Money, on the air right here at CNN 650 AM. For more information and showtimes, go online at texasbusinessradio.com.
Every morning I open the door. Hello, stock. Hello, store. Building my business, building my dream. I'm glad to have radio on my team. It reaches my customers and new ones too, and tells them about what we offer and do. I'm watching my budget. I have to spend smart. For me, radio is a good place to start. Radio works harder. Put it to work for you at radioheardhere.com.
Brought to you by this radio station to remind you that radio is heard here. Radio is heard everywhere.
Red Defender! That huge asteroid is headed towards Earth!
I'll handle this.
The Red Defender hurtles towards the asteroid!
You saved us! How?
I stopped the asteroid and reversed it back into space.
The moon! It's exploded!
Where did you throw that asteroid?
Away.
Saving the world isn't easy. Saving a life is. One pint of blood can save up to three lives. Go to bloodsaves.com. A public service message brought to you by the Ad Council.
We're back. You're listening to Law Talk here on CNN 650, and we've got a special guest here with us today talking about consumer credit and bankruptcy. That's Alex Wathen. Alex, your website is bkhouston.com. Is that right?
That's correct. And there's also a special page on there called Recovery from Bankruptcy, and that has links to a lot of the resources I've talked about, like credit repair and credit scoring. There are a lot of ways you can learn more about it on my website.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. By the way, for those of you who were a little embarrassed to send us an email or at questions@lawtalk650.com or to talk on the phone, afraid your friends and relatives might recognize your voice, you can get hold of Alex at 281-999-9025. Or if you're just outside the Houston area and you want to call toll-free, it's 888-305-1919. If you have a question and you want to submit it here on the air, you can reach us at 713-9650-650 or through email at questions@lawtalk650.com. We were talking about some of the bankruptcy means and when you do have to qualify and when you don't. You were getting into that right when we took our break.
Yeah, even if you're above that so-called median income level, don't be too concerned. Most people will still pass because you can deduct a bunch of stuff in the so-called means test, but you really you can't tell with 100% certainty until the attorney has prepared your whole case. I mean, I can sort of predict where people fall if they're above that, but it is literally more complicated than doing your taxes. I basically have to take all your income the past 6 months of you and your spouse, and then you take some stuff out. Social Security doesn't count. Then you can deduct all your taxes, your insurance, whether it's disability, life, or health. You can deduct up to 15% for tithing or charitable contributions. You can deduct all your secured debt payments. I mean, it's really a whole monster in and of itself.
Yeah. Well, what's a really quick litmus test if you're covered up and you're losing sleep? And I mean, when do I say, okay, I need to do something about this? Well, what's a litmus test? I mean, my bills are more than I'm bringing in, or I mean, what if you were to say this is when you know if you're in this situation, you need to consider bankruptcy.
I think that if you have to charge stuff on your credit cards just to pay your monthly bills, then you're in trouble.
Okay.
And that's the time to come to me because, you're already at the point where you can't pay all your bills if you have to charge stuff.
Got it.
And I'm seeing that often. I mean, maybe it's for the miles, maybe not, but I'm seeing an awful lot of people having to use credit cards in grocery stores. That really bothers me.
You know, there's some good reasons to do that, such as for the benefits, like if you want to dispute it with a merchant, if you want to get the miles. But if you do that, immediately when you go home, go online to your online banking and pay down,
transfer
send the
money.
Payment off for the amount you spent.
Got it. Good advice.
Yeah, real good. Yeah.
Alex, how much of your bankruptcy has involved medical bills that became so large that people weren't able to pay them? I mean, our insurance is not covering like it used to 20 years ago, that's for sure. So, you know, if you have any kind of major illness, you've got some medical bill debt.
You know, most people have some medical debt. I don't have that many people that have only medical debt, but it's a factor in like a third of all bankruptcies.
Really?
Even though it may not be the only factor, it's those that are already vulnerable and get hit with medical bills.
They're out of work.
They lost their income.
They were 60 days out and things happen.
Unfortunately, bankruptcy law does not give them any special benefits. But the good news is even if you don't pass the means test, let's say you have high income and we just can't get it passed, we could do a Chapter 13 instead. And a lot of the times, 13s can be very affordable. They don't have to be minimum 3 years. What it is you have to, in theory, pay all creditors in full if the 13 lasts less than 3 years. But a lot of times, these debt buyers that don't have the records, that can't prove up their claims, don't file proper claims, and the court will strike a lot of them if you object. And I have people who've made a lot of money who have 6 month or 9 month Chapter 13s who have been able to, and obviously this doesn't always work out that well, but it may be very affordable to do Chapter 13. And one other thing too you should know is that if you file a Chapter 7, you have to wait 8 years to get another discharge in a new Chapter 7.
Okay.
If you file a Chapter 13, those time periods are shorter. There can be as short as 2 years if you want to file another 13. So if you run into new trouble a couple of years down the road, you lose a job again or something happens, you can get relief again and you don't have to wait as long. So that's another real benefit of filing Chapter 13.
I'm glad you brought that up, Alex, because I know I've noticed in the paper it seems like some corporations are filing bankruptcy every 18 months or so, and doing a reorganization.
And it seems like it's easier to file a business bankruptcy than it is for a person to file bankruptcy, an individual.
Yeah, U.S. Airways, I think, is one of the most abusive bankruptcy filers I can think of. And, you know, businesses get all the breaks. If you have mostly business debt, you know, I have people who owe $500,000, couple of million in business debts. They don't even have to do the means test. They automatically pass the means test. But individuals that have debts, for some reason, our dear Congress doesn't want to give them as much help. They put them through this nasty means test, and they try to humiliate them. But, you know, the nice thing is we have the right attorney that helps you through this process. It's really not that bad. But there are all kinds of options, and each person's situation is very different. And, that's why it's so important to talk to an attorney about this and not just believe what the media says about you can't file bankruptcy anymore. And
right.
Creditors will tell people that bankruptcy will ruin you. And,
yes.
If a creditor lies to you about bankruptcy, that is an unfair debt collection practice, at least under the state law. If a third-party debt collector does it, then we can sue them for doing that under the federal law.
So. What is it? Give us a short of a third-party debt collector. I mean, do they have any power at all?
You know, they're the ones that are federally regulated under the federal law, which gives us even more power than the state law. They're not the original creditor. Or if they're hired to collect on behalf of somebody else, or if they bought the debt when it's already in default, when you've already stopped paying, then they're considered a third-party debt collector, and they're subject to the federal law.
We're sitting with Alex Wathen,
W-A-T-H-E-N,
of the Law Offices of Alex Wathen. He focuses and concentrates. He's a board-certified bankruptcy attorney. He focuses his practice on consumer credit assistance, and you can be reached. What's your email and telephone?
The BKinquiry@gmail.com and 281-999-9025 is my phone number.
Good. Got time for a quick call?
We have a quick call here from, looks like we got just a couple of minutes. Let's try and get Bill. He wants to ask you about Chapter 7.
Hi, Bill.
Bill, are you on?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Good morning. About how much does it cost for Chapter 7?
Well, obviously, if you're an individual and you're not self-employed, I'm about sort of in the middle of the price range. I charge $1,960. Of course, if you're self-employed, it's more if you have a business. But I'm also like Southwest Airlines, the no-fee zone. I even include my filing fee in the price. I pay for your credit counseling, your credit report. I just don't like to nickel and dime people. There are people that charge less, but I'm a little weary about people who charge so little. I don't think they can give you very good service for it.
Well, I'm not going to name names, but you're right. There are law firms out there that'll say, we'll do your Chapter 7 for $500, $600, but then they turn around and they want filing fees and they want postage and they want telephone fees, and by the time you're through, you've spent quite a bit of money with them anyway. So
and you're right about that, Tom. Not only do they nickel and dime you, but also you never get to speak to an attorney. You're in with 5 minutes for the attorney, and you're back to a paralegal they just hired who just got trained on this. And what really scares me, I've seen some other work products from people who've come in and had bankruptcies with other attorneys, and it's scary.
Bill, I hope that helped you out. I'll tell you what, we're getting ready to go off the air, but I want you to feel free to either send us an email, and we'll put you in touch with Alex, or give Alex a call at 281-999-9025. Before we leave, I want to announce that next week's show is entitled Bob Just Violated My Civil Rights, and we will have a special guest on the air. Also want to real quick let you know, coming up this month, we've still got Judge Pat Likos coming on, and one of the following: who gets custody of the 50-inch flat panel, I slipped on a grape, I deducted my dog, or my child has rights, right?
Right.
Hope to see you back next week. This is Tom Ewing and
Bob Lewis
for Law Talk here on CNN 650.
Thank you for listening to Law Talk. Please remember, the information contained on Law Talk is not intended as legal advice, but to provide general understanding of the law. Persons with legal problems, including those calls or emails addressed on the air, should consult attorneys for advice on their particular circumstances. This program is intended for general knowledge and entertainment purposes only. Join us again next Saturday morning at 9. Until then, stay legal, Houston. This is CNN 650 Radio News, KIKK Pasadena, and KKHH HD3. Real news all the time. CNN 650.
It's thinking about writing its own legislation. Emory University professor Kenneth Thorpe is a health consultant for the Democrat. He tells CNN he feels pretty good about reform.
16 years ago, there was nothing reported out of any committee in Congress. Today, we have proposals out of the Senate and a couple of out of the House that are real substantive.